like it's been all week here.
All right, we are live, and a few of you look alive out there. And we're going to go to page 371 in the hymn book to start things off. A song we've sung here once before, please. Let the lower lights be burning. Sunshine. 472. We'll sing next.
It's supposed to be nice all week after today.
Yeah, finally.
This helps me with the allergens. Cleans the air. God's natural air filter. We're all still a little rough sounding up here, so.
Never forsake me, promise me by heaven, never just stay.
So we're going to plug to the third. We've a story to tell. This time, I deal with I'm diagnosed with what's called chronic bronchitis. That means it's chronic. Not necessarily terminal.
It's called chronic. Asthmatic.
Yeah. So, when the whole world starts to bloom in the spring, it's a beautiful thing to see, but it really takes its toll on me. But this year, there's been a head cold going around with it, sinus. People are sinusy and everything. So that's why we're just encouraging everybody to be considerate of others and don't spread the love. Amen?
Amen.
Remind the onliners, bbfohio@protonmail.com. And those of you here with us, if you want a prayer card, they're up front with the pencils.
Pray.
Yeah, I've got it. Prayer room. There's your reminder to silence your cell phones. Wasn't that pleasant? We would like to say to all the mothers, Happy Mother's Day.
Yay! Happy Mother's Day to my mom in heaven.
If you got a mom in heaven, also, I believe I can speak on behalf of everybody in the room that you can at least thank God that you had a mother.
Amen.
And won't ask whether she was a good one or not. Mine certainly was. And I'm thankful for her, and we are so blessed by our mothers. And so some of you have some plans. You're going to take mom out and do this or that, I think. But our plan is to go home. And my wife is a mother, and she's going to take the day off. And we probably normally, well, most years we get together with kids and grandkids, but because of all this stuff going on, we're just like, you know what, let's just do it some other time. But you know, we have these proverb devotionals we upload every morning. You can watch them. You can sign up on Sermon Audio to get them. They're just 5 minutes. It's to help people start their day in the Word of God. We're in Proverbs right now. We'll be there for quite a while. And we're in Proverbs 3. And we discussed this thing with Mother's Day. You know, it is great to take a day and show a little love to your mom. But you should be honoring your mother every day. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's, I hope that that's what Mother's Day is a reminder of honoring your mother every day. So with that, we'll get into our current events update, and you can hold your questions and comments until afterwards if you please. The world continues becoming as it was in the days of Lot. This and apostasy among Christians and in churches is one of the most important signs of the end times that most people don't give a lot of thought to. Everybody focuses on the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast and things like that. But the church is going into apostasy, resulting in a great falling away. And some people say, well, that's the rapture. And I don't believe that it is referring to the rapture. I believe it would say so. I believe a great falling away in the Greek language text is apostasia, which means falling away. But the rapture will put the icing on the cake. Because the moment after the rapture, there's not a single believer left on the planet.
Amen.
It'll be the most apostate condition of the church and world to ever exist. The moment after the rapture. The only churches left are Laodicean. They're not even real churches.
Yep.
Jesus is still on the outside knocking to get in. And the other thing is what a lot of Christians are compromising with, as it was in the days of Lot. It was Sodom. And when a Christian compromises with this modern LGBT movement, then they are demonstrating that they are either lost or completely in rebellion against God. So headline reviews. First of all, we start with what's related to Sodom is Marxism and the end of Christian culture.
Wow.
And Walt Disney is promoting what's called critical race theory. to employees, telling them to reject equality and strive for equity. Now, how many of you remember a few weeks ago we talked about the difference between the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, but what they're pushing is equity, which is the socialist idea that everybody's the same. And what that has always resulted in is a culture that goes crazy. If you want to look at the Soviet Union, that's why they had massive amounts of drunkenness. Vodka killed that country because they had nothing to live for. No matter how smart you were, no matter your skills, no matter how hard you worked, no matter how productive you were, the end result was you drove the same broken down jalopy. You lived in the same little hut. You had the same terrible health care. You had the same terrible retirement plan, which is really no retirement at all. You just got sick and died. And that's what equity is. So Americans have better wake up. If this program of equity takes over, then that's what America will become. And no, Venezuela is not just a hiccup, not an exception. Exactly what's going to happen. That's why they should be called Walt Devils instead of Walt Disney now. Walt wasn't a perfect man. He had his issues, but Walt at least didn't allow his company to become a sodomite company that would try to take our country into the days of Lot. His country is now being run by people who are far gone. They are anti-Christ culture warriors. You want to watch some of the old Disney stuff, that's one thing. But the new stuff coming out, and it's been happening for a while, by the way, but fairly new stuff, is blatantly conditioning people. And it's going to get worse. They're actually bringing in the gay and trans characters into their cartoons and everything. Uh-huh. Well, here you go. Disney pushing pride products. LGBTQ flag toys and merch with iconic characters like Mickey and Minnie.
Oh, wow.
It won't be long before they'll have, probably Minnie will come out as a lesbian or something. That's how far gone this company, Disney, is going. Listen, whatever it is in this country that you have loved and respected, you better get used to the fact that you're going to see it crumble.
Yeah.
One thing after another. Like Walmart. When Sam Walton was around, is a different company. Walmart now is Wokemart.
Yep.
And they are starting to, I mean, their spokespersons are people like Ellen, you know, and they're taking their money and funding the gay lobby and gay rights. That's why we've always referred to Home Depot as Homo Depot. They give millions of dollars every year to fund these gay pride parades walking up and down the streets of our cities, masturbating, blaspheming, and doing all sorts of filthiness. And when you support those companies, you're helping to fund that.
Yep.
And don't tell me you can't buy a hammer somewhere else, because you can. But it isn't going to matter, because the prices are going through the roof. The cost of wood is now skyrocketing. That's why housing is going way up. And the more this Biden communist administration continues to do what they're doing, you are going to see your economy crash. It's going to be the days of malaise 2. This is Jimmy Carter part 2 under Joe Biden.
Yep.
And the whole world is running with the devil now.
Yeah, that's right.
There's barely a country that even pretends not to be completely in the hip pocket of Lucifer. Here's an example of the Olympics. Laurel Hubbard will likely become the first, what they call, transgender Olympian, competing in women's weightlifting. He's a man. He's a man.
He's already won.
And he's going to beat up on women. And that's what these lunatic leftist Democrat liberals and Republican progressives are doing to this country. They're nuts.
Amen.
They're wicked. And the church is barely making a peep. Because everybody wants to get along with everybody. You don't want to upset your siblings. You don't want to upset your parents. You don't want to upset your friends. You don't want to upset your neighbors. So you sit there like a quiet little mouse? No. You should be speaking out. And if it causes you to lose relationships, that's the cost of following Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad, albeit, you know, coming in a little late and everything like that is sort of looks sparse at first, but you know what? Better late than never. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm glad to have a group of people that come together and want to hear the preaching of the word, want to stand for what's right. But you ought to look around and say, you know what? I love y'all, but if you all quit, I'm not.
Amen.
Y'all can quit. I'm not quitting. I started out preaching to teddy bears as 5 years old.
Aww.
If I have to go back and start preaching to Shih Tzus, I will. Jenny be sitting there, amen, the Shih Tzus are rrr. If that's what it comes to, that's what it's going to come to. International Olympic Committee has now added sexual orientation to their non-discrimination policy, and that's why they're going to let men beat up on women.
They want the Olympics.
Wow. The men who work strong enough to compete against real men.
That's really what it comes down to. And the worst thing of all is professing Christians accommodating it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not talking to anybody in this room or anybody watching online that's doing that, but if you are doing that, repent. You should not be accommodating any of this in, obviously not in our local church, but in your home. You are invited to a so-called gay marriage and go, shame on you. You are participating in a mockery of marriage. If you have a family member, a gay couple in your family, and you treat them like a couple, shame on you. You should treat them as decent human beings. You should treat them with love, but never, ever accommodate the wickedness.
Amen.
And man, there's just so many people I know who, they tell me, their preachers never tell them this stuff. They never hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
That's not just for the ladies, folks. That's anybody who looks at Sodom and feels at home.
That's right.
God help you. If you look at Sodom and feel at home, you got a rotten soul.
Amen.
And you'd better repent and get on your knees before God and ask Him to purify you of that wickedness.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. Amen. That's why we're so thankful for good Christian mothers. Because listen, any mother who accommodates that wickedness in her children is a wicked mother.
Yep.
That's right.
Amen.
First, Jack.
Pastor, could you go a little bit further into that? Shouldn't we be boycotting Walmart and Home Depot?
I don't use the word boycott. It always goes hand in hand with like an organized thing. What I say is, I won't spend my money knowingly in a place that is going to fund the devil. That's why if you belong to United Methodist Church right now, you give money to that church, you're funding Satan. Now, the United Methodist Church is going to break, split, and there's going to be a smaller group of conservatives. But right now, the money you give goes into the big pot. Now, it's just... So with churches, with businesses, it doesn't matter what it is. My money will not knowingly be spent in a place that is going to be used to fund the devil. Now, what you do is between you and God, and you're going to answer for that. I'm going to give you the information so that you can use wisdom. And then it's up between you and the Lord. But I would highly encourage you to use your own mind, your own brain, and think about, well, I'm in a place... If you don't know, then that's one thing. But also, you know, you should be putting forth some effort to know these things.
Just one quick follow-up.
Sure.
Is there a list of good-sized businesses that have
There have been people who have put those lists together. You got to kind of update it every few weeks, it seems. But there are places online where we've seen people make those lists.
The LGBT has a grading system. And most companies get 100% approval from them, which tells you most companies have gone down the toilet.
But I'll just tell you, Lowe's...
Some of them are pushing it way more than others.
We go to Lowe's because they score very low with the gay lobby or whatever. Myers is another one.
Ace, Ralph.
I don't know anything about Ace, and I don't know one way or the other, so that's why we go there once while still.
The other thing is, if a company's neutral, you know, that's a lot better than most of them.
Yeah. That's the way, you know, we know a company's really doing good stuff and really trying to, you know, do what's right. But, you know, I'm a coffee lover, and I have a different taste buds than a lot of you, but Starbucks coffee, in my opinion, I love it. I know some of you, it tastes burnt, whatever. Your taste buds are warm. But I love Starbucks coffee. And I have not bought a coffee at Starbucks for about 10 years, except for twice when I was given a gift card. And I didn't want to just give them that money and let them keep it. So I spent the money that was already spent and got me some Starbucks. That's the only time in about 10 years. Seattle's Best. I love that coffee. We actually bought a bunch of it. And then after that, they went on board with this whole thing. So we stopped buying Seattle's Best. Yeah, that's who bought them out. So then we changed to 8 o'clock Italian dark roast. And I don't know, is there another one we buy? I thought there's two that we buy. But anyway, you can see what I'm saying is, hey, man, if I have to drink coffee that I don't like as well, I will. I'm not going to fund this stuff. All right. Chuck, you had your hand.
Yes, sir. I know I can refer back to your website to review what you mentioned about equity. You're discussing Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3. Now, with Walt Disney using both the term equality and equity,
well, they're saying they don't want equality, they want equity. They're replacing equality with equity.
But equity is a good thing.
No, equity is the bad thing. All men are created equal. That means equal opportunity and your equal rights under the law. They want equity, which is communism.
Right.
Equity says that as a dentist and as flipping burgers, you make the same amount of money, same home, same car, same benefits. You remove all incentive to go to school. You remove all incentive to actually do anything. That's equity. And that's part of the critical race theory, is the idea of equity. Plus, they want to dismantle Christian culture in the country as well.
Maybe I heard it differently on the website. I think equity was...
No, that's the bad thing.
That's the bad.
Well, that's in Proverbs. It says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity.
And that's under the law, is what that's talking about.
But liberals have polluted all the words. So I understand what he's saying. I mean, the word equity.
We're referring to the language, the language as used by liberals. The word liberal itself is a good word.
Yeah.
But it's been perverted by the liberals.
Right.
The word equity in and of itself is a good word, but they have perverted it and made it at this thing that is basically communism.
So that's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good, one of the hardest things today is to keep the language straight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole way they were able to get abortion legalized was perverting the language of the Constitution, the 14th Amendment. And so one thing after another, they pervert the language. And so it's a good thing. You do have to keep all those terms straight and such. Yeah, Rick?
The communist and the Marxist agenda for equality is not equal opportunities, but equal outcome.
Yeah.
And equity creates equal misery for everyone.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah.
That's what they want, too.
Yeah. Our use of the word equity in context of this discussion of critical race theory and the liberal agenda is the bad version of equity. I saw somebody else. Jenny?
I was going to mention one other interesting story from Disney. Apparently, they just redid their Snow White ride at Disneyland and Disney World, and they actually stood their ground and supported having Snow White and Prince Charming kiss at the very end. Because it's, you know, when he's waking her from the sleep. And they're like, oh, it's not consensual. How can it be true love? It's not consensual.
True story.
But Disney's like, you know, that's what the story says, and we're sticking with it.
For now.
Yeah. For now.
Somebody showed the new version of that. He's going to walk in instead of kissing her, he's going to have a blowhorn. Did you have your hand up?
Me?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Target is another one that.
Oh, yeah.
That allows men to go into women's dressing rooms.
Yeah.
And you can't call the police on her or anything because if they feel like you're a woman that you know, it's
Can I have a step to the Target and I don't have
okay, Mary, you have to be our last one. We got to get.
I was just going to say, American Family Association, you can sign up for action alerts. They'll give you petitions to sign and they'll keep you updated on stuff that we need to report.
Yeah, and here in Columbus, you get their radio station. We can't get it where we're at out there.
One more.
All right, we got to go. We got to get going. We'll have more discussion afterwards, though. We'll get the ball rolling on the Bible study. But, plenty more to talk about, and we'll keep talking about it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's open with the word of prayer. We'll get into our Bible study. And have Brother John, if you would. You know, Bible study.
Amen. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for meeting with us today. And we do thank you for Mother's Day. And Lord, you have the rocks and cradle that rules the world.
Amen.
And we just pray, Lord, even in these times, Lord, that you can still raise up people that will, moms that will love the kids, and Lord, raise up men that will love the children.
Yes.
That's the job of Elijah, but it comes back is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the calamities going on in our country today is a whole lot of families that have no fathers in them.
That's right.
And we just pray right now, you are our Father, and we just pray, Lord, that as your children, you'd be merciful to us today. Remember our friends are but dust. And without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, grant us the power of your Spirit today to make a difference in the life of someone this week. Bless the teaching of your word, open up our hearts, and grant us a great blessing out of your word. And what we said, it was great to be in your house today. In Christ's name we pray for your glory. Amen.
Amen. So now I have to go home and listen to my Proverbs 1:3 devotional again, because...
So the main thing I'm taking away from that is equity is a wonderful word, and Webster's defines it very well, but another word they've co-opted and stolen and twisted and made it totally, it's a terrible thing.
Yeah. And another thing, as I was thinking as you're talking, is you will hear that those words used interchangeably, equality and equity, and that's another thing with the language again. You're hearing words totally used in ways that are not intended to. It's like the word woke, you know. A few years ago, that word didn't mean what everybody's using it to mean now. So it's part of the thing was keeping up with the language, as Satan has always used the language. Genesis 3, Luke 4, Matthew 4. He's twisted Bible verses and taken words out of context and all that. So our study today, that they which come in may see the light. Luke 11, 33-36. That they which come in may see the light. We're just going to read those verses. I'll have you join in the even verses with me. I'll begin verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
It's good stuff. Jesus is about to teach what we call common sense. And again, our generation in these end times, we're seeing common sense is not so common. Amen.
Yeah.
It begins there in verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. Of course, you can compare this to turning on a lamp. Not very many of you light candles these days. And when you do, it's usually so you can stink up the room. Amen?
Yeah.
But when you light a candle for light's sake, you don't put it under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick. Why? The candlestick lifts it up off even higher into the air so it can light up the room. Amen?
Yeah.
So the purpose of the light is obvious, that they which come in may see the light. And this ain't as easy as you might think. Through the years, we've struggled with lighting. Right here, we put in all new light bulbs and struggled to see because we got, I think they were LED equivalent of 60 watts. And you know, there's 4, 8, 12, 16, 60 watt bulbs. I thought, that'll do it. Well, next thing you know, what do I got up here?
Yeah.
So that I can see better. And so we went ahead and dealt with it for a while and then went out and bought 100 watt lights and replaced them all. And we're using the 60s in other places. In our house, right after we got married, they were starting to ban the incandescents, and they had a real deal on these LEDs. So I bought a bunch of them. I come home and changed them all out, you know. And everything looked blue. You seen those type of LEDs? They call them the cool light. It wasn't too cool. It wasn't so cool. Everything, we all looked pale, like we were sick or something. And it was really bad for, I don't know, I tried to just deal with it. And like one day I finally came on and said, we have got to do something about this.
That was a good wife. I didn't complain.
She didn't complain to my face. But so we get these.
Did you get a KMI?
I don't know. It doesn't matter if it's a cool white LED.
Well,
it had so we went and changed it all the lights, and then everything looked good again. Well, then we moved into a new house. Same problem. The light bulbs were too dim. And then our light went out in the ceiling fan, overhead light. And so on and on, this lighting thing, I mean, we take it for granted. We just walk over and flick a switch, light comes on. Well, back in this day, you had to have candles. You had to have a way to light the candle. You couldn't let it get damp. You couldn't let the, back then, I don't think they had matchsticks back then. You think about how fire, man, that was a big deal. They'd be able to light things. We just take it for granted. Then when you get it lit, you want it to light the room, so you set it up on a candlestick. Well, the same thing's true about us as individuals, as believers. You see, it's not about you. It's about you being a light to others.
Amen.
See, what's dimming most professing Christians that I've known personally, and from the reading I do, I believe this is pretty well across the board, is that most Christians aren't being light. Because they're not concerned with lighting the room. They're only concerned with themselves. And they stay off in their own little room, pleasing themselves, instead of being a light. So if you're a disciple of Jesus, now, it is different to be a disciple and be a Christian. You can be a Christian without being a disciple.
Yeah.
And there are many times where Christians who were once disciples, stop following the Lord the way they ought to and stop really being disciples. If you are saved, the next thing for you to do is to become a disciple. You're not saved by being a disciple. There's one particular disciple who's in hell right now. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Judas.
He was a disciple of Jesus. But he wasn't a believer. He had not. And then by the time the Holy Spirit comes, baptizes all those apostles into the body of Christ, he's already in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be saved and then become a disciple. And if you are a disciple of Jesus, then you are no longer your priority.
Sure.
How many of you remember when Jesus said, love yourself? Yeah, maybe.
Is that in, like, First Opinions?
Yes. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Not, and a lot of people even pervert that and say, well, he's saying love yourself, but love them too. That's not what he's saying. He's basically saying, you already have a problem loving yourself. You should be loving God and your neighbor as you have a tendency to love yourself. He's not encouraging you to love yourself. And we talked about that last week. That's a mark of the end times. When men are lovers of their own selves. Jesus said that you drop everything to follow Him. What's He mean? He means it's no longer about you. It's about you serving Him, loving God and loving others. Now, none of us have arrived, but all of us should have that mentality. That's our goal. So look in verse 34. Beginning of the verse says, the light of the body is the eye. You see, if you're going to be a disciple carries with it the idea of discipline. You see the word disciple in discipline?
Yeah.
You see, if you're going to be a disciple, you're disciplined. What that means is you control what goes in and comes out. And Jesus is going to tell you that if you don't control what's going in, you won't control what's going out. You must control what's going in if you want to control what's going out in thought, word, and deed. The eye is the gate through which information enters. Now, I just want to discuss this, though, because the eye doesn't... He didn't say eyeball, did he? And the eye can be different for different people and different circumstances. The eye simply means the entrance into your brain, the eye gate, as we'd call it. Because somebody would say, well, what about the blind? Well, the blind have eyes too. The blind see. They don't see visually the way you and I do, but they still see. The senses are interconnected with the eye. You know, you don't just see with your eye. Your vision, which is then flipped up and put in your brain and goes through all those, you know, electrical impulses, it is affected by your other senses. And so what your collective vision is in your brain isn't just the vision that comes through the eye because of the light reflecting and hitting your eye. It includes your hearing, your sense of smell, your sense of taste. It actually also includes your own experiences and things also affect that. That's why there's people who see the same thing, and when you get testimony from them, they will differ in one way or another on this or that, and what they'll deduce after interviewing these people and they analyze the information, and they'll realize, well, this guy has a little different vision, you know, his vision isn't as good, so he picked up more on because of other things, the hearing and everything, than this guy who has 20/20 vision. And his focus is more on that visual side. You see, things like headaches, they can harm your sight and your memory. And man, I don't know if I have to explain that to you, but I've been there. I mean, there are times where I'll have errors in my slides. It's because when I was putting them together, I was sick or I had headaches or I'm having a flare-up or something. Then sometimes my signs are fine. And then I come in here to present it, and I'm, you know, mixing up my words and saying things wrong or whatever. Why? Because as a human being, I have to deal with all these health issues and distractions and things. All of that affects your vision. It's just an interesting thing. Scribonius Largus, at about the same time that the Bible is taking place and then being written, 1st century AD, he discovered a successful treatment for headaches, an electric stingray on the scalp.
That'll do it.
Here's an example. Oh, I'm sorry, that's just a bad hairpiece. But he would actually take a stingray and put it on the person's head so that they would get an electric shock.
Wow.
It's a the origination of electric shock therapy. But they do still to this day use small electric, you know, yes, to help with headaches and things. And he's the first guy who thought that up.
Wow.
But, you know, he couldn't just plug something in back in the first century A.D. So he used natural means. And what better than a stingray? So I couldn't find a picture of anybody with one on their head. So you have to use your imagination. Or maybe someday we can do that as an experiment. Others suffer from a condition called aphantasia. Aphantasia is a real problem. It's the inability to visualize mental imagery, otherwise known as blind imagination. In other words, they see something and then they can't really remember visualizing in their head what it was they saw. Now, that'd be a real problem. I mean, a lot of times when I've misplaced something, I think, now wait a minute, where did I have that? I'll remember putting it down and then oh, okay, and I'll go back to that place that I just saw in my brain.
Yeah, amen.
And then there it is. Well, what, can you imagine how these people must have a terrible time finding their keys?
Yeah.
And what do they do about that? They have to, I don't know if there's any treatment for it, actually, from what I was reading. There are many other brain conditions and things, but the point is that the eye incorporates all five senses in its what we call sight. And I know a couple of blind people, and I've known several through the years, but you can sit down with Sister Martha, and you can ask her a question, and she can describe things to you. And she can tell you what was in a room based on what she heard, what she smelled,
she felt,
and who knows what else. Sometimes I think she's got six senses, the way she picks up on things.
Like mine, my feelings a lot better because of my vision isn't as good. And Martha, the only difference between me and her is her optic nerve shut completely down. That's a crazy blindness.
You know? Well, some of you know, I went, how long did I go without?
Several years.
2 years. Well, I'm legally blind in one eye anyway. And then I lost my vision, could only see peripheral vision in the top part of my eye, my right eye. And for 2 years, I didn't drive. I did almost all audio. I had this big, huge, giant print Bible that some of you can see from where you're sitting because of that. You know, and then one day I woke up and I couldn't see. And so I began developing these other ways of seeing things. And then one day I woke up and I could see again.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I praised God and I went to my doctor and he said, you might as well give the Lord credit because I didn't do anything. That's what he said. So I got to experience for a couple of years what this is like, not having great vision. What's the word? It's audibly and...
visibility?
There's another word for it, but...
visibly?
Acuity?
Visibly there's a big word I can't think of, because I remember hearing it when I was having all these tests and everything. So scripture with scripture, what you see, I put that in quotes, includes words. In Romans 10:17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that interesting? Faith cometh by hearing, but most of us read. You see, so when the Bible talks about hearing and talks about seeing, it's not a scientifically technical term. It's talking about what you take into your mind. And that can be through your eyes, it can be through your ears, and is affected by the other senses. When I was doing the audio, you know, I was telling somebody that there for a while I was really going through the Bible. I went through it two or three times within a few months. Listening to it and just taking it in and everything. I said, well, that's not really like reading the Bible. And I said, well, then blind people can't read the Bible unless they have Braille, but even that's not reading. That's with your fingertips. Well, I don't know about that. And I said, well, and I've said that to numerous people through the years. Actually, Doug, when we were talking, you know, he just shared with you his vision issues. And I think Doug had been made to think that listening to it on audio wasn't really as good or not the same thing. Well, if you pay attention, it is.
No, I never.
And the, remember, we had that conversation.
I have never done it before.
Yeah.
And then I started doing it.
And the reason why people don't do it is because they're made to believe that it's not really as good as reading it with your eyeballs. Well, if you listen and you develop your ear, as they say, develop your ear, and you can really take in what's being said, that may even be better than reading for you. Some people, when they read, and I do this, I have to stop myself sometimes. I'll be reading, and suddenly I'll realize, I'm reading it, but I ain't even paying attention to what I'm reading.
Exactly.
Some of you do that?
Yeah.
When you talk about hearing, that's a very interesting order, too, because when you hear something like thump, thump, I heard it, but when you listen, you internalize what you heard.
Right. Yeah. Johnny?
I know Bob has explained this. There are different types of learning that people have.
Yeah.
And there are some people who do a lot better by listening than by reading or
yeah.
any other method.
Yeah.
So with the idea that the blind see and that you have different types of learners by listening to the Word of God, that's whether you read it, you're hearing it read. So without beating a dead horse, we will continue with this understanding of the eye. I wanted you to have that understanding that when Jesus is talking about the eye, it's including everything you take in into your mind. So we go back to Luke 11, verse 34. It continues and says, therefore, when thine eye is single, that's talking about focus, the whole body also is full of light. So if you will take in that which is proper for you to take in, then that's when you will notice the change in your life. The whole body is full of light. But don't expect God, and people just want to pray and say, Lord, turn me into a spiritual giant. Boom. It doesn't happen that way.
Amen.
It's not going to happen that way. You have to get your focus, single focus, on serving the Lord, learning His Word, praying, telling others about the Lord, living it the way you ought to, being an example for people instead of someone that wants to avoid you. And you will then succeed in being a disciple and being the light. But it is up to you. Why do I say that? You say, it's up to God. No, it's God's right there, ready, willing, and able. This thing isn't up to God. God's already doing His part. It's up to you. You have to make that choice. You have to be the one to receive what God wants for you, receiving His Word, praying the way you ought to, pray without ceasing, preaching the gospel to every creature. So that's the question. Will you take in the light so that you can then be a light? Or are you going to drown yourself in darkness? And folks, it seems maybe some of you are saying this is very basic. No, it may be, but this is a plague throughout professing Christianity.
A plague of darkness.
I mean, there are professing Christians who walk out those doors of any church you want to talk to. I hope I'm not talking to anybody here. But they walk out that door and the music they listen to is filthy fornication and disgusting in God's ears, but they let it go in theirs. I'm not talking about walking through a store and you can't control that. I'm talking about what are you feeding on day in, day out in your car, in your headphones from your phone or whatever you're listening to these days. Or as Joe Biden would say, on your record player. I actually have one of those, so. But if you are only watching and listening to things, it doesn't even have to be sex. It doesn't have to be abominable wickedness like that. It can be false teachers. It can be people who are telling you things that is going to rot your brain spiritually. And people will turn on these TV preachers and watch this stuff. Now, I'm not saying all preachers on TV, but you know who I'm talking about. These guys who don't teach the Bible, and when they do, they rip it out of context and everything. That's going to rot you spiritually. It's going to dim your light.
Amen.
And he says, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. And if you're not being a light, It has a lot to do with what you're taking in. And what you're taking in is darkness. It will not exude light. How many of you have seen what happens when you put a, what they call a black light?
Yes.
And I didn't bring it today, but I have used this as an example. And I'd have a light here, what a regular, like the bulbs we have here, and then a black light. And I'd tell when I was teaching young people, I'd tell them to wear white. And so they'd all wear their white t-shirts and everything. And then I'd always have one student that I'd ask to have a black shirt under his white shirt. I'd turn on the light, everybody'd be looking around, everybody's got white on. And I said, now this is how God sees it. And then I would flick the lights completely off, and that kid would take his white t-shirt off quietly and set it aside. Then I'd turn on the black light, and you'd see all the white t-shirts except for the one kid with the black. And the kids are amazed. How do you do that? So that's how God sees it. You can put on a show and people look at you and you come to church and call yourself Christian or whatever. But God sees the light. And the reality is people around you see it too. They are being affected by whatever light you're putting off. And if what you put off is actually darkness, don't think for a second that you're not affecting people. You are. We are, there's no neutral, there's no, pause button. You are either being light or darkness. And you got to take this thing seriously. And a sinner who is lost and unsaved obviously must repent in order for the gospel to penetrate. That's why repentance is so important. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Now look what it says here. If you're there, read verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see that? They're blinded by the enemy. And that's why the light of the gospel will not take root, take effect. The sinner is lost in sin. You can picture it as being up eyeball deep or nose deep in the muck and mire. And they have to turn toward God. That's repentance. Turning toward the light. And then the gospel shines on them, that they can believe and receive it. A lost person must recognize they are a sinner, lost in sin, and deserving hell. And repent. And if that person will repent toward God, then that's when the gospel can shine. With faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. See how that works? If you are preaching the gospel to people and trying to water it down and make them feel good about themselves and telling them, Jesus will take all your problems away and all your dreams will come true, that's not the gospel. You have to confront your lost loved ones with their sin and the fact that they need saved. And then, if they will repent in their heart toward God, willing to receive the gospel, they can be saved. Now, verse 35 says, back in Luke 11, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You know, there's people who really think that they're shining light, and it's darkness. Yeah. There are people who call themselves Christians who spend all their time trying to convince everybody that of the Calvinist extreme version of predestination and election, that doesn't matter. Everybody's been chosen who's going to be saved and who's not. And so they don't spend their time preaching the gospel. They spend their time trying to darken your light.
Yep.
I've had it happen to me personally numerous times.
Yep.
People who don't spend any time preaching to the lost, all their time trying to, they are so deceived.
Amen.
And trying to deceive Christians into not preaching the gospel because it's already settled. There are Christians who spend all their time trying to get you to speak in tongues. They don't go around preaching to the lost the gospel. They want you to, oh, praise the Lord, let's go. What does that accomplish? Absolutely nothing, except to darken the light. There are all, you name it, all kinds of things that everybody is spending all their time totally distracted on instead of preaching the gospel to the lost. There are those who are religious but lost. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. There are a lot of religious people going to hell.
Amen.
And those religious people will preach what they think is, you know, what is the gospel? And they'll say, oh, the golden rule. Now, the golden rule is something to live by. That's not how to be saved. Oh, the Sermon on the Mount. No. Wrong dispensation. Well, I just think it's, you know, do unto others. No. Any gospel that involves your works is a satanic lie and leaves you in darkness. Any gospel, all these people around in town, everybody can be baptized to be saved. Satanic lie. Anybody telling you, oh, you go to heaven if you go to church and do this and do that? No. It's a lie. So now comes the obvious conclusion from the Lord in verse 36. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, beginning with salvation, and as a Christian, doing what God has told you to do, receiving His word and so forth, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. That's our goal as Christians. Not so everybody will go around bragging about you. Oh, he's such a wonderful light. He just lights up the room when he walks in. That's not our goal. Our goal is the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ. And it's obviously not heeded by the masses. And I mean massive Christians as well. Note that the Lord based our being full of light on our being a light. In other words, you can't be full of light if you haven't received Him, the light of the world. When you receive Jesus, that's when you receive the light in you. And when you receive His word daily and walking in the word in prayer and such, that is how you are a light. That's how you take a light bulb. If I just hold a light bulb up, and I mean, there's musicians who can make it do something, but if I hold a light bulb up, it's not doing anything. I have to do what?
Turn it into a power source.
Power source. Jesus is the light. He's the power source. Receiving the gospel and receiving Jesus, then we can become lights. And there's no other way to do it. No other way around it. And that's why we started in verse 33 by him saying, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, not to attract attention to you, that they which come in may see the light, which didn't come from you in the first place. It's not you. It's not coming from you. It's Him in you, shining out from you. And it's not a question of, you know, whether or not that will happen. If you are full of His light, you will shine. So if you're not a shining light right now, you need to ask yourself what the problem is and then look in the mirror. If you are not a light right now, you're the problem.
Amen.
Jesus is the solution. Jesus is that light. If you've never been saved, never gotten it straight, you need to get that straight. How that Christ died for your sins, shedding His blood and paying the full price for sin. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If you get that settled, you have the light in you. Then it's just a matter of surrendering to Him in your daily life. And it's a choice. You can wake up every day and decide, this day's mine. I'm going to do what pleases me. I got a whole list of things I'm going to do that are going to just make me feel, oh. Or you can wake up and, as Paul said, I die daily. You don't wake up and say, you know what, it's not about me. Try it sometime if you haven't. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, wake up tomorrow and leave yourself a little sticky note by the bed. Monday, May 10th, all to Jesus. And give it all to Him. Don't let yourself make those stupid choices at any time, that one day. Do what you're supposed to do. Be in the Word the way you should be. Just one day. Read, pray, witness. Keep your eyes off of the garbage. Turn off the crap. One day. And see what that's like. It'll be an amazing experience. Some of you have done it, maybe got out of it. The world's pulled you down. Start tomorrow. Actually, I mean, you can start right now. But you can start by now by saying, you know what? I'm going to spend this day for the Lord, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and this day belongs to Jesus. One more place. This is our last place we're going to look, is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5:15. He's going to say the same thing and then put a little icing on the cake. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now read verse 16 with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, your works doesn't save you, doesn't have anything to do with saving you. You can't add a work to your salvation. You can't pay for a sin with your works. But what you do is get saved and then work. And you work for the glory of God. It says they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. They're not going to start a, you know, St. Gregory Miller Day. You know, we don't want to start a new denomination. You know, the Church of St. Gregory of Worthington. You know, or whatever. What's it about? It's about bringing glory to God. And if people know you're doing what you're doing because of Jesus Christ in you, then you will bring glory to God. Not to mention the reward and everything else. So that's what we'll pick up in Luke 11 next time.
Yeah, Rick. I was just thinking that the point here, and this stated in Matthew 5:15, was you don't light a candle so you can stare at the candle.
Yeah.
You light a candle, it says it gives light unto all that are in the house.
Right.
You need it to see what's around the candle.
Yeah. But you aren't the light.
Right.
Jesus is the light. And it's not about you. It's about you lighting the world with the gospel. And that's where people get it wrong. Everything. People read the Bible and it's all about, I'm going to get something for me today. You've already started wrong. What you're supposed to get is what God wants for you so that you can love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're reading the Bible right, it's putting your desires to rest. You know, that brings up another little point I'll bring up as our musicians are coming. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. And people misread that. They think, well, I desire this and I desire that and God's going to give it to me. No, it means He's going to change your desires. Your desires will no longer be what they were. You'll find your desires are God's desires. And that's why He says, if you pray anything according to my will, you'll receive it. But most people don't pray according to His will. They pray according to my will. Instead of thy will be done, it's dear Lord, my will be done. And it all comes back to that attitude of being about God and serving others for His glory. Amen? All right, you stand, we'll sing. sorry. I don't have my page. I'm holding up the works here. I've got my super giant print hymnal. And I normally pull out the songs ahead of time, and I didn't this time. 424. So when the preacher gets on the right page, we'll all sing. Sing that chorus with you one more time. All right. Well, that's what that song sums up the message. That's our summary at the end. Great song to get stuck in your head for the rest of the week. All right. We'll ask those online to get the prayer requests in. bbfohio@protonmail.com. And if you have your cards, I think Sister Jenny Albaugh will be happy to collect those. If you raise them, raise your hand, she'll come around and get them. And we'll pray. And we'll say goodbye to the onliners. If you would, on three, join me in saying goodbye. One, two, three. See you here, there, and in the air. Goodbye.